All right, glad to get started today. The first thing I'd like to do is recognize our fans. Man, did we feel their presence yesterday. I know we asked our guys to set it off on the field, but clearly they had set it off the field. We failed them in pregame warm-up, and then right off the bat came out and had a nice three and out and a score right after. So from the team, that was totally appreciated. So that part, we're good. Each week we've asked our team, this week, and making sure our mindset stayed on that. And we've gotten stronger at that process over the last month in terms of how it's all about this week, the preparation that goes into it, and we're going to continue to do that. This week, as we have a bye, we'll practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And instead of the focus going on to the opponent, the focus comes right back to us. And we'll ask the guys, hey, here's some things in your game we want to improve upon. And from a coaching standpoint, we'll look at some self-scout and some things that we'd like to do better from a scheme standpoint. So it'll always come back to fundamentals. That'll be a big part of this week. Tackling yesterday for sure is something that we want to work on. We had 10 missed tackles on the day. And for sure that'll be something as we get into this week, some big-time fundamentals. So that'll be the focus for the week. It is fun to get the process right back to us and see how good we can get this week in preparation for the following week. And with that, I'll be glad to open up to your questions regarding yesterday or moving forward.
Did you get any word on Vic's shoulder? And
how? Yeah, he did great and came back in the game and finished the game. So no limitations for him moving forward.
He'll be able to play through the pain or whatever
yep.
it is.
Yep. Yeah, so
he said he felt
it'd pop out and stuff. Was that a concern, or
well, at the time when he had to take him in? But then once I knew he came out, I was really pumped for him to say, like, you knew how important it was to come and battle for his guys. So he came through the game fine, and it was sore, but he did a really good job on. Yeah,
okay. He'll practice this week.
He will. Yep.
Any advantage in seeing how in Seattle having a bye week sort of works?
I guess going through the experience has certainly prepared me for, what a blueprint could look like. And I know each team is a little bit different and the unique challenges that it brings and who's healthy and, you know, who needs more rest or less. But the focus will still be the same, and that'll be on our improvement. And when we do that and have a couple of things emphasized, during this time you don't have 10 things to work on. You might have one that I want to nail this part of my game to get it better. And then as we get into the process next week, you go back to our routine. We love that routine that we do to get ready. But this is a unique period to see if there's a little part of your game that we can improve. From coaches on our standpoint, it's a good time to go back through. Here's what we've played over the last month and a half, and what can we do better, and how can we feature guys in different ways.
Is this a bye week a window for anyone on your staff to accept interest from other teams to interview?
Yes, and so that would be the case. I won't get into any specifics out of respect to other teams, and that's their news, not ours. And I'd been through that process before, and that's the same, you know, comment I had then. It's for the other team and not for ours. So, but it is the perfect opportunity and the perfect window for those opportunities.
I know you said you don't.
Shoom. This must be a big topic.
Go ahead, Don.
Specific teams, but can you confirm that Kyle will interview, and how will that fit within his duties here in Atlanta?
Sure. Great question. Like I said, I will not confirm any teams, but I'm sure he'll be contacted by some teams to do that. Our coaches will have some time at the end of the week that they would be off, and it will be during that time if it happens.
How do you handle that this week with the players and everything that's going on?
For us, it's not a distraction because we do what we do. And there's not, like, you don't have to leave anywhere to go anywhere. There's not a process that changes. So I can comment on that because I went through it firsthand. And really, as coaches, any work that you may do, it's been done long ago. And when the opportunity comes to speak to another team, it happens pretty quickly. So you'd better be ready when that opportunity comes. And for all the guys, when that happens, they would certainly be ready to do that.
So you said that process, what do you tell Kyle?
I won't share everything with you, but I'll share just some insight of things that that I learned through the experience over 2 years of doing it, and just any insight I have. He's got his world in order too, so if I can give him some insight on some things that would help, I'll certainly do that.
You said he doesn't have to leave. That's what you said, or you said
you're not allowed. No, any interview that takes place happens in your own city. So I was referencing that you don't leave Atlanta.
Okay. And then preparation-wise with him, I mean, I'm sure you guys already talked about that. Hey, you know, even if you're going through the interviews, you got to be preparing for that next opponent.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that one bit. Any preparation that you do, that was a discussion we've had well before this week, yeah. So anything that was done would have been done well before our season started.
Coach, were there discussions late in the game to try to get Matt to 5,000 yards passing?
No.
Just had him in there for...
Well, the other guy was pretty good, too. So we were battling for it just like we looked like. So, but no, that wasn't part of our thinking. Honestly, in the game, you're just thinking about how hard you can go and what you can do. So it's not something that that I had information about prior to. In fact, I didn't know until this morning.
Coach, what are your feelings on Matt for MVP?
You know what? I always appreciate when guys really go for it. And the hard work totally jumps out. And it not just from the season. This has gone all the way back from last January. And it carried over into OTAs. And it carried over into training camp. And carried over into the regular season. And it hasn't stopped, you know, his quest to keep getting better, keep finding that edge. And when you can do that over a long period of time to find that edge, I think that's a really cool thing to see. So I know good things happen to those that work too, and he's put the work in. If it does happen that that's an award that he wins, knowing him, it would be an award won by him, but certainly shared by everyone on the offense.
Can you put into perspective what the play of your offensive line has done in terms of what you've been able to do offensively this year?
Yeah, I don't know if I can put it into words, but I can say you know, the work that those guys put in to allow us to play the style that we love to play, where it is a physical style in the run game and play actions that go along with that, with the keepers from the quarterback, the drop back passing. So the way they come off the ball from the very first thing we do at the start of the offseason, the way we want to come off the ball. It's the offensive line, it's the tight ends, it's the running backs, it's the receivers. With that kind of speed and aggression, whether it's a run play or a pass play, the offensive line's right in the middle of it every play. But for those guys, just putting the whole package together, we're very fortunate that the connection they have, the communication that takes place all along the line, and we're fortunate they've all been able to play together for the whole year.
Yeah, we don't usually think of a center when you try to figure out who might have been the best free agent pickup in an NFL season. But I got to assume you don't think there's been anybody more valuable as a free agent pickup.
Yeah, it's hard to identify that sometimes because they don't show up in the stat sheet, you know, from an offensive side or a defensive side. But Alex is a real critical factor in what we do and how we play and the style that we play. So he is at the very front of it on every play, making the calls up and down the line. He is definitely a football junkie. And, you know, you see him communicating with the ref. You see him up and down the line. You see, you know, yesterday we needed him on our PAT field goal team. He hadn't played on it all year, and he stepped in at guard and did a great job. And I would think if you ask Keith Armstrong, there was no doubt that he was going to do that. So he's somebody that we count on quite a bit.
For Mac, having been in Cleveland and now getting to be in this position that he's in now after the postseason, he said it feels good. Now, have you had a chance to talk to him about that, just what he's saying?
I have not.
No work's not done
yet. Yeah, I have not spoke to him about it. The last conversation we had was it was the first time he'd had a, you know, some wins in, you know, in a while. And I said, let's keep that to yourself for a while. But no, it's not something that we had talked about. Honestly, we just all stay in the pocket of getting ready and going out to compete. So he's been a real factor in what we do.
Big finish was the NFL sack leader this year. As a former defensive line coach, as someone who's worked with him a lot developing this game, how cool is it to see him get that award?
We're all pumped for him. And one of the byproducts of that is his ability to get the ball. And so for him to have the forced fumbles this year that he did between he and Keanu, that's been a real factor. They do it in different ways. Keanu tries to knock it off you, and Vic, when he gets the quarterback, has a real knack of how to go get it. But both of them have a real appreciation to go get the football. And that part of his game, I don't know if we don't speak about it a lot, but I think it was, you know, maybe 6 forced fumbles for Vic on a year. That's a good year in terms of going after the ball because it's not like you just get them every time you go. I mean, it's having awareness and timing. And so not only has he improved as a pass rusher, he's improved as a ball hawk too.
Can you just speak to the character he showed? He talked about it was just a matter of just fighting through the pain. But he said he wanted to be out there because his teammates needed him.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. When we saw him come back out, I kind of laughed and said, you want me to hit you, test you out? He said, no, I'm good. But for those of you that know him, He's humble and quiet by nature, but he is a very good competitor. And so I'm not surprised that he wanted to come back out there and go battle with his guys.
And how important was yesterday in the sense that you had a conversation when you first got here about controlling your own fate, don't let other people.
Right.
And in the playoffs, it's obviously in a one and done. Winning a game like yesterday, while it's not a playoff game, that idea that you have to do this yourself, you can't look around for help.
Yeah, we don't want to have to rely on anyone else, you know. We're our own judges. And we knew this was going to be a hard-fought game yesterday, and it was. So as opposed to looking too far ahead of what could be, I was proud that the team stayed right in the moment. And, you know, they came back hard like we thought they would, but the guys kept battling, going for it, and it came right down to the end. But for them, knowing they were ready.
What's the fourth quarter yesterday mean to you, maybe one day later?
Well, for sure I'd say, number one, as a coach, okay, what can we get corrected on all three phases that we can do it better? But it does show the resiliency, you know, that we have when not the whole game's going to go exactly like you want it all the time. And there's going to be some plays that go your way, and the ones that don't, you get up and you battle again. I think it's an example of like two-point conversions that we stopped. And, you know, interception down in the red zone or, you know, down on the goal line getting a stop and forcing a field goal. Those little moments where you get to demonstrate your finish never gets unnoticed by your team. And so we had a chance to finish in some of those small opportunities and having those ones. Hey, I'll still fight again. The next play, another, you know, whatever it takes, I'm going to go battle.
What about the second onside kick? It looked like if you're going to have an in-game teaching moment, that sort of worked to perfection.
In fact, we showed that to the team today. It was the same kick at the same style, and they did a good job executing it. And then we executed better on the second time. So you'd like to have that one, the first one, but as it turns out, when the opportunity came, okay, we learned from the lesson, and now we get to go demonstrate we can get it right, and we did.
There was a lot of reminiscing going on yesterday with former players at the game, and you know, obviously the Georgia Dome is near its end, however the postseason goes. Can you talk about what was your impression of the facility from afar, and maybe are you going to have a favorite memory from your 2 years in the Dome?
Well, one of the things I'd like to talk about when we came out yesterday out of the locker room at the half, so many of the former players were there and just kind of fist bumping a couple of the guys coming through. And I thought that was a pretty cool moment for some of the old heads, and here the guy who was, you know, playing right now coming out. Those were the guys that were coming out of the locker room, whether it was last year or 20 years ago. And so having that connection between old Falcons and current Falcons, I thought was pretty cool. As I was walking out, I was thinking about a lot of them there, saying these were those same guys walking out of the locker room. And no one can fully appreciate coming out of that locker room like those men could, because they did it. They literally walked that walk. And so I had a, you know, real appreciation for them, although I don't know all of them. I appreciated that. And then as far as, you know, the stadium goes and here, for me, it just starts with the fans. And that's the first thing you remember about a place, the enthusiasm that a fans and a city that brings to a stadium. And that's, you know, what I think of when I think of our team and our stadium here, the fans, the city, and, you know, the love that they have for the team.
Coach, I'm going to go back to assistance real quick. What's it like just for you as a head coach personally when a guy's getting mentioned for jobs? Because I'm sure there's part of you that's rooting for it and part of you that's saying, well, this is a valuable piece of my staff that might be leaving.
I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it because there's nothing to get all concerned about or go too far down the line until we know what's up. So the more time I would spend, you know, out of whack on it, so to speak, wouldn't be do a lot of good for the rest of the team. So just like them, I try to stay in the present moment. And when a situation would be called upon to act on, then we'd handle it from there.
And ADs at colleges and general managers in all sports, they sometimes talk about they got three names written down on a piece of paper locked in their drawer if they ever have an opportunity. Does it work that way for head coaches as well?
I think, you always have people that you're connected with if those opportunities would ever come about. But honestly, like I said, it's not a thing that I spend a lot of time thinking about now. We got some of the coolest things ahead for our team. So my focus and my intent is going to be right on it. And in terms of our team this week, and not much past that.
You talked about the other day, you talked about Dallas and Seattle a little bit and stuff like that. Can you kind of size up the NFC field as it is now?
Sure. Well, we know, you know, where our path leads. And we talked to the team about, you know, what could happen Saturday. between Detroit and Seattle, and the winner of that one, you know, will determine if we play that team the next Saturday or not. And then it would be Green Bay or New York as it goes. So what I would say is that it's an exciting time, man, because at this spot, you know, all the guys are battling for the same thing. And each team has unique stuff about them, and they're not all the same. So our team's different from the next team, and their team's different from the team they're about to play. So each matchup has a little bit of different stuff. And that's why I kind of like for you guys watching and covering playoff football is so much fun. And for us who get to coach in it, for the players who get to play in it, it's so much fun because all the different matchups that could take place. So it's a blast. And told the team, man, the fun's just beginning.
What about facing a couple of those teams already this year?
You look back at it for the film, knowing, okay, this is how they played earlier in the year. This is how they might have played us, you know, before. So that's generally where the game plan begins. And then from there, what's different from when you played them? What's their roster look like differently? Generally, not everyone has the same roster from the start to the end. And so that's how you start, you know, putting the pieces together.
And on that same subject, how much different are the Seahawks with Cam Chancellor now playing?
Yeah, he's a factor. You know, like it's the physicality that he plays with. But like I said, all teams are a little different now, and I would say we're a better version of ourselves than when we played them. And then we'll just – honestly, this week it's about us, and I'm not going to spend too much time talking about teams that are down the road. You guys can do that. But it, for us and for our team this week, it's going to be about us.
Coach, you set goals at the beginning of the year, obviously division. You're number two seed, you win the division. Does this group exceed your expectations?
The first thing we talked about was we wanted to be the best attacking team in football, and we wanted to own the turnover margin. So we're getting closer from a turnover margin. I think we were maybe tied at fourth somewhere in that neighborhood. But in terms of all three phases, keep attacking and keep going for it, we're getting closer to that. And we feel like we've got lots of ways to improve, and that's honestly where we're headed for this week.
What does this week's schedule look like for you guys?
Today was a normal Monday for the players, and then they'll have off tomorrow. The coaches will be doing some self-scouting as opposed to future game planning, but the things that we did well, things we want to feature, and that'll take place for Wednesday and Thursday's practice for us as we get ready you know, for the following week. But it's so much about our situation football and the areas that we want to improve upon. And then as it gets into Friday and Saturday, we'll start building up for who we potentially could play.
Dan, do you think young guys appreciate the idea of you only get so many cracks to be a champion?
I don't think so, as far as young guys go. I know my first year in the league, went to the playoffs and think, man, this is like it should be every year, you know. And then I remember I went through a couple of drought and I said, man, this isn't every year. So I would say no, but I do think every one of us has an opportunity to recognize when you're in the moment and you're part of a really cool and connected team and you don't want to let the other guy down. And so when you take that approach and that mindset, you're going to do everything you can to be at your best. And that part of our team, that part's there.
Do you expect Austin Hooper and Taylor Gabriel to practice this week?
We do.
Come out there and get both of them.
We do. Mm-hmm. One more, Chris?
No, I was just going to ask, do you think you also have the right mix of guys to help get that message across player to player?
Yes, we do. And that part happens more than you think, where this team will be connected this week, and I would imagine when they're out of here at the end of the week, there'll be some things that they'll do together. It'll probably involve ping pong or bowling, but I imagine that group would stay together, go out to dinner together. It's that tight of a group. So that's also the responsibility of the older guys to help educate them. Been through this process before, and these are some things that we want to make sure we're aware of. And so the bye week isn't a time just for rest in the playoffs and chill. Like the bye week in the playoffs is the time to sharpen up, and that's what we intend on using it for.
Does your approach change as far as coaching?
No. Talking about for our bye?
Yeah.
Our process is 100% about see how good we can get this week, and all of us will have little specific things to work on, coaches included, and that's what we'll try to find this week, try to find that edge.